is not the first time you've introduced something like this.
No, I haven't. It isn't. I have introduced it for several years now. It's an inequity, and I think this year we will fix this inequity because it gets more serious every year as more FERS employees are eligible for retirement. What has been happening is that the FERS employees will use up their unused sick leave prior to retirement, and it's estimated that it cost the government about $68 million per year for that to happen because these are the most experienced trained employees, and they're leaving just at the time when they need to be on the job, transferring their experience and skills to people taking their place. So it's something that needs to be fixed. Now, CSRS allows federal employees to accumulate their sick leave and then to add it to their annuity benefit when they retire. What this will do will accomplish the same thing so that you'll have parity between FERS and CSRS. It's something that should have been done, frankly, back when FERS was created in 1986, but it wasn't, and it's becoming all the more serious now as more and more FERS employees are ready for retirement.
And in the grand scheme of things, Congressman, the cost of this benefit probably doesn't really add up to all that much.
No, I mean, frankly, it's a savings, Tom. Will benefit the government in terms of improved productivity and keeping its skilled employees on board. So now it'll cost a little bit at the beginning. I've had a bill in the past that allowed FERS employees to take a lump sum benefit equal to a portion of their sick leave when they retired. That was going to be a cost about $10 million a year. We figured if we're going to do it, let's just make both retirement systems the same. And I think we can get more benefit for that because even at $10 million, you have to have some offset to pay for that. This is a better system. I think it's an easier one to explain to people who are not conversant in federal employee benefits. Just to say, let's make both retirement systems the same is a compelling enough argument. So I think we'll do the latter this time rather than allow them to take a lump sum benefit.
We're talking this morning to Congressman Jim Moran about the bill he introduced to eliminate the use it or lose it policy or make the CSRS retirement system similar to the FERS retirement system in that they would both be able to give sick leave lump sum payouts at the end of federal service. So, Congressman, with the current economic climate, And stimulus package being signed today by President Obama, is it more or less likely that this will pass? Because clearly it will cost some money to implement this.
Well, I think that with the Democrats, frankly, in control of the Democratic president, I think these things will move along a little quicker now. Because there has been, I don't want to get partisan about it, but Democrats tend to be somewhat more supportive of the federal workforce. The Republican Party still has some of this residual attitude that the government is the problem, not part of the solution. All of the Republicans voted against the stimulus bill, for example, and I think that's kind of, as I say, a residual attitude from the Reagan administration. So you have a little more support, actually a lot more support from the Democratic Congress, and I suspect that President Obama will echo that support of the federal workforce. The other thing that we have to bear in mind is there's a brain drain coming. The majority of federal employees are eligible for retirement within the next 8 years. They'll be over 50. They can take regular or early retirement. And if they're not appreciated, if they're not given sufficient benefits and enticements to stay in the workforce or new people to join the workforce, then we have a very serious problem. Just a few moments ago, you mentioned the money that the federal government will be dispensing. We need people to do that, and we're going to lose a lot of those best people very soon. I might mention there's another bill that's kind of a companion piece to this that affects the difference between FERS and CSRS as well. Currently, CSRS retirees, if they retire and then decide to come back to the government because the government needs them or wants them particularly for their skills, under CSRS, you can take your retirement and put it right back into the retirement system so you don't lose any benefit. Under FERS, you can't do that. I have a companion piece of legislation that with similar co-sponsors that will allow FERS retirees to take any sum that they cashed out, redeposit that with interest, and then not lose benefit for not lose credit for their years of service. Those are the kinds of things we're going to have to start thinking about doing in order to keep our best employees in the federal government. We need these incentives.
Well, you speak to some issues that really raise a larger issue, and that is, you know, what is federal employment all about? And it seems like we're coming into an era in which there is going to be greater value for federal employees and federal employment itself, and also somewhat less outsourcing for some of the programs that have been functionary activities have been outsourced to contractors. Do you think that's shifting back now in a significant way?
Tom, I know it is, and this is a very important topic that you've brought up. To some extent, since 1980, the American people have bought into the argument that government should only be used as a last resort, and the best thing Congress can do is to cut taxes, cut government's revenue, and reduce government in our lives. Government's role is that has been recognized to be essential in our lives if we are going to sustain our quality of life. We found that out now in this current recession, which if government doesn't step in, it will become a worldwide depression. There needs to be a balance. I don't think there has been a balance. I think we've seen a tipping point over the last a couple of decades toward the private sector, toward outsourcing everything, even inherently governmental work. Now we need to bring those jobs back into the government. We need to recognize that there are times when you need the government. Government needs to play a complementary role to the private sector. And even the most conservative economists now are recognizing that unless government pumps $800 billion into this economy, and some think that's not even enough, then the whole economy will go into shutdown mode. So I do think there's a reassessment of what government needs to be doing in our lives. Europe, there is a greater balance, obviously. We've tried being as independent of the government as possible, and it frankly has not worked in many ways, particularly economically. We'll get back to balance, but for the next few years, I think you're going to see an expanding role for the federal government so that people don't suffer, that we have adequate unemployment compensation, we have adequate food stamps and medical assistance and job creation. And right now, it's the federal government that's going to have to create these jobs in concert with state and local government, because the private sector simply isn't lending the money that's necessary to generate these jobs. So it's a very important point that you raise, and that means that we are going to have to be hiring far more people than we ever imagined. And in terms of outsourcing, I just chaired a hearing for the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee last week. We find that we have more contractors in Iraq than military personnel, and many of them are performing in what you would consider to be inherently military work. And similarly in the civilian sector, we've had contractors evaluating the proposals of other contractors. We have contractors doing auditing. We even had contractors preparing the budget justification for the military supplemental appropriations bill last year. Well, that, I believe, is inherently governmental work from anybody's point of view. And the fact is, this situation needs to be rectified. We have a very serious shortage in acquisition, in procurement, even in budgeting, auditing these financial management positions, and we're going to find that we have shortages throughout the government if we don't come up with greater incentives to attract the best people in this country to consider public service as a career option.
Have Federal News Radio headlines delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up for the Federal News Flash at federalnewsradio.com. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news. Now,